Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point.
Which way? Welcome. It's another episode of Let's Talk Black Arts here on Triple A Murray Country 98.9 FM. I'm your host, Willpower Ui, and this is the show where we dive deep into all things First Nations arts and culture. So we're going to be covering things from music to storytelling to visual arts and everything between. Really exciting stuff, and I don't know about you, but I know that the arts something is really something that connects me to the world, and it's the storytellers out there that offer us the opportunity to consume through these creative mediums, which we've been doing for thousands of years. So I'm so excited and so passionate about the space, and I hope you are too. And so we cover heaps. So if you want to see any previous episodes with some of the deadly artists that we've interviewed, check our website, AAA.org.au. We also have previous shows streaming on podcast platforms such as the Community Plus Radio app and iHeartRadio. So don't be ashamed to download those apps and jump in there. They're free to download and to listen to previous episodes. But nonetheless, let's get on with the show today. Big show lined up for you, massive one. So in particular, I've got an interview to share with you. Actually, earlier this week, I got to catch up with Vicky Gordon. Now, if you don't know who Vicky Gordon is, she's a deadly person, 100%, but she is also a strong ally for First Nations people in the music industry, particularly supporting First Nations women, trans, non-binary within the industry. She is the founding executive producer and program director of the Australian Women in Music Awards. And I had a great time catching up with her. She told us a bit about her story, how she got to where she is today, what's important to her and what her values are like. And it's kind of like underpinning the reason on how she created this space and this platform to celebrate women in the industry. And she's so passionate about First Nations people and LGBTQIA+ and young people as well. So stay tuned to listen to that interview and to learn more about Vicky Gordon and what she's done. But in particular, something that is really deadly about this interview is that we are also talking about a First Nations remote regional pathway to attend the actual Australian Women in Music Awards ceremony that's happening later this year at the beginning of October. So really exciting stuff, because one thing is for sure that I completely am aware and I understand that sometimes reaching remote rural areas can be quite difficult, and it's really hard to find those pathways to do what you love and to fulfill your dreams. You know, sometimes, you know, it's the fear of leaving country that you have to dive deep into these massive opportunities, and there's a lot of challenges that come with that. But creating pathways where people can feel supported to connect to other mob in the industry and to connect to the spaces and the places where people can feel comfortable to be themselves and to thrive and to share their excellence with the world and to feel supported to do so. So this is going to be a pretty deadly interview, and please stay tuned to listen to that. Other than that, just got some daily updates about things that are happening out there in the industry, and particularly in Meganjin. You know what? I just personally believe that we are so spoiled for choice right now. I don't know about you, but I have never seen a resurgence of all of the language and culture and everything being put out there through these creative mediums. And I really encourage you to make plans to see what you can actually, or just explore what you can actually participate in and to watch and to consume. And you know what? Pretty deadly, beautiful stories out there. So I'm going to share a little bit about that as well. But, you know, as we start every single show, we've got to do the vibe check. So here we go. Here's the vibe. Now, the vibe check for me personally is, I don't know what it is, but it's something that makes me feel like I need to be prepared, because we've got one of the biggest weeks coming up in the cultural calendar. As you might know, Nailuk Week is coming up, starting from this weekend actually, and runs all throughout next week. Personally, Nailuk for me runs 365, and but I always love to take the time to have this jam-packed week full of Delhi events, connecting with mob, connecting with community, sharing and celebrating Black excellence across the board, whether that be, you know, at the workplace, in community, wherever, you know, everything's going on. So many stuff. So, yeah, well, in saying that, though, with all of those plans and all of those events and all that kind of stuff as well, I always move into these periods with an element of focusing on self-care, because you know what? You might relate to this, but sometimes we can overcommit and we can burn ourselves out. But, you know, because as much as it takes to want to be out in everything and every event and celebrate, absolutely go for it. But we also need to make sure that we are doing it in a way that also is good for our souls, good for our health, good for everything. So celebrate with joy, practice patience and self-care in amongst it all, because at the end of the day, it's all about us as a collective. And if we can look after all of ourselves individually, and then we can come together, and then it's a community collective effort for positive health and well-being and everything between. So I don't know, that's me, I'm big on that. So I hope you can relate. But if you do need extra support during this time, acknowledging sometimes this is a time where you know, we can see peaks of racism, discrimination, just to put it out there. And you know, the reality is that we do live in that world at the moment, but there are so many people who are here to support you, so don't feel shame. Reach out to your friends, your cousins, aunties, uncles. You know, mob are here for you. Also, if you do want to talk to someone like a counsellor or a psychologist, there's so many deadly organisations out there. For one, in the arts, in the performing arts and in music, you've got Support Act 1-800-959-500, and they have a dedicated First Nations line too. So when you do dial 1-800-959-500, dial option 3. But also, you know, you've got Lifeline 13-11-14. You've got Beyond Blue 1300-224-636, and 13 Yarn, another Delhi service there, and that's 139276. So whether it's you who needs help, whether it's someone you know who needs help, there's many avenues for it. So I highly encourage that. Now, without further ado, we're going to get right into things. Let's go. This is the interview that I had with Vicky Gordon, the executive founding producer and program director of the Australian Women in Music Awards,
otherwise known as ALMA. Vicky, welcome to the show.
Oh, great to be talking with you, Will.
Yes, I'm so excited for this yarn. You know, I've been to last year's ALMA, and I know how incredible the event is and some of the outcomes, so I'd love to have a chat about that in a minute. But I'd love to just start the show with a question that we ask all of our guests in the beginning, and I'd love to just actually, Vicky, just share just briefly a little bit about yourself, just to start with.
Yes, I am a New Zealand Māori woman. I'm currently sitting in Yuin country in beautiful Jervis Bay, which is where I have the great pleasure to spend a lot of time doing this work and confronting a lot of the challenges that I need to face to push through this extraordinary music industry, which is a very difficult place to navigate at times.
Yes, very familiar with that. And we talk about that all the time. It can be quite tough, but also quite rewarding. I think what music offers the world is just so powerful for all of us and can really connect us as people. And what beautiful country to be living on, the Yuin country in Jervis Bay. I actually used to live in Canberra and used to make frequent trips out there. So it's a very beautiful spot. Another question that we ask all of our guests when we start is, what's the vibe? So Vicky, how are you feeling today, or how are you feeling this month? What's been going on for you?
Look, I'm feeling really positive and sometimes a little bit overwhelmed. We have a massive mission, and there's a lot at stake and a lot of governance and a lot of, a lot of care needs to be taken with the work that we're doing, not just for the women and gender diverse folk, but obviously in terms of our relationships with our First Nations brothers and sisters and how important that is. So I'm very conscious of all of that. This month is, We're ramping up. We're 4 months out from the event now, so it's pretty intense, and there's a lot of travel involved, and also a lot of people, new people engaging with the program to help us deliver it. So lots of responsibility on my shoulders, and I do feel the weight of that at times, I must admit.
Yeah. It can be so overbearing sometimes, kind of, and so overwhelming. What's one thing that you like to do to practice self-care and look after yourself?
Oh, look, the main thing for me is just to be connected with nature. As long as I'm living in a little house where I back onto the bush and a creek, and I have, obviously being on Yuin country, access to Buttery and the national park, and just the most beautiful beaches. So wherever I can, I get into nature. But the other thing that really keeps me sane is that I love to cook. So I love food, and I'm a really good cook, and cooking is a really big part of my day-to-day therapy.
Yeah, I love that. I think I connect with you on that one. I love my food. We always try cooking different things. Like, as a Torres Strait Islander, I bring some of my foods in, like chicken simmer, which is like a chop suey version. And then also my partner, being Māori himself, cooks the seafood chowder, and we have the fried bread every now and then. It just feels like soul food. Yeah. It's so great. Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Vicky. And, I sort of feel also relatable in terms of, there's so much happening at the moment. There's lots of plans happening. And I think for me and for many of us in the community, we're about to come up to NAIDOC week. So that's so many events within the community, and some of them we, either dancing or sharing our culture and educating people throughout that time of the year as well. So feeling the crunch of all the plans that are upcoming, but I'm very excited for it. A lot of people call it, the Black Christmas, because it's our community celebrations of culture. I think it's an important reminder that although there's all of these incredible things that are happening, that we can sometimes feel that weight on our shoulders. And it's important to practice self-care on a regular basis. So try to recognize and look inwards first, and figure out when you do need to practice self-care. Make those moments for it. Schedule those times in your calendar. But also, don't forget that there's mom out there. There's aunties, uncles, cousins, friends, people within the community that are there to have a chat with you if you like. But there's also some incredible and deadly organizations like Lifeline, Beyond Blue, 13YARN. You can call them up too. So 13YARN is 139276. You could talk to a counsellor. And also in the arts, we have an incredible organisation called Support Act, who have a wellbeing helpline, and you can reach out to them too on 1-800-959-500. And for us more about there, there's a First Nations dedicated line as well, if you call that number and dial option 3. Now, I'd really love to dive deep into this conversation around some exciting news that is currently out for applications at the moment. But I kind of want to start with the origin stories about how the program come about. So we'll get there in a minute. But firstly, I've got a question that just relates to the beginning. And Vicky, so when it comes to the Australian Women in Music Awards, what inspired you to create that? What was your vision of its inception all the way back in 2018?
Thank you for asking that question, Will. The Australian Women in Music Awards, or what we now call AWMA, really came about after 3 decades for me of lobbying around the issues of gender equality and cultural equity. And I had in the 90s established the Australian Women's Rock Institute, and through that program, that was the first organisation in Australia set up to improve the status of women in the music industry. And through that program, I also produced Australia's first Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Women's Contemporary Music Festival, and the first training program for female DJs, and the first actually all-girl rock festival in Australia. And my work, I started as a young musician in New Zealand, and have worked in most areas of the industry, but all of my work has really been centered around trying to build more diverse stages and create opportunities for women and my First Nations sisters in particular, and gender diverse folk. So that's been my life's work, really. And when I established the Australian Women in Music Awards and conference program in 2018, it really came at a time for me, but also for the industry, a time of desperation to change things for the better, to try and find a new pathway, because the lack of leadership in the Australian music industry at that time was just non-existent. And the lack of research, actually, in relation to just the role that women were playing in the industry was virtually non-existent as well. So I initiated a research project called Skipping a Beat, which was one of the first programs to look at gender equality and where women were actually sitting or placed in the industry. And what we discovered was just appalling. I mean, the statistics were there had never been a female CEO of a major label. There were only something like 26% of women in senior leadership roles. There were no women on the board of ARIA, no women on the board of APRA AMCOS. And at that time also, there were lots of issues around the lack of women performing on main stage festivals. And we're still having that same conversation today, Will, as you would know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd spent years and years just standing on the outside screaming. And I thought, look, I've really got to do something about this and do something internally, get on the inside and kick, which is pretty much what I did. Long story short, I mean, I really started lobbying around this about 2016, and I couldn't get anybody to support the idea, and I couldn't even get a meeting with the New South Wales Arts Minister. But eventually I ended up in Queensland. And amazingly, when I first left New Zealand, I mean, I left New Zealand with $300 and my guitar, and I came to Australia to get a job in the music industry, and I didn't know anyone. But at that time, some years later, I ended up in Brisbane, and I started my music career in Brisbane. I was performing in all-female punk bands at night and a rape crisis centre, working in a rape crisis centre during the day in Brisbane. But what happened was the Queensland government, which was then the Premier, was Anastasia Palaszczuk, and she was the only Premier in the country who had 51% of women in major portfolio positions. And that government really understood what I was trying to do. And they supported me. They provided a small grant. I had to, as I still do, 6 years on, have to go and find at least 70% of the funding to deliver the event, because we never get enough money to do what is really required, as you know, and that's that's pretty much common in the arts. And that's where it all started, from Brisbane. And we continue to deliver the event in Brisbane because that's where we're actually getting really good, strong government support.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely incredible as well, just to hear, you know, just the background of your story. I think there's a lot of people who could relate to that in terms of, you know, feeling the injustices and the fight for equality that's still a development along the journey of the Australian music industry and the country. I mean, it's just incredible to just even to see the systemic change that you've already influenced from your time and space in this area, and it's so well needed. And yeah, even just from attending the event last year, I could see what makes it, to me, in my eyes, a success, is that your event and the ORMA itself is something that is underpinned in very strong values, that has that fight and that significant lean in towards social justice, which is so important. So yeah, congratulations on all of your success so far. And I know we've got a long way to go, but yeah, the story that you've shared is very inspiring. So thank you for sharing that with me and the listeners. And yeah, it's just incredible. And it's grown every year. And in particular now, you've got a program that's open for applications right now. You've got the 2025 Regional and Remote Women's and Music Program alongside the ORMAs. And I was just hoping maybe you could just share with us just a little bit about what is the program and why do we have the program on offer at the moment?
Sure. The regional program was really established because a really big part of our mission is to create opportunity and access for a lot of those women out there who don't normally get access to the sort of event that ORMA is, or the calibre of this kind of music production. And the regional program, which is now open, we're calling for expressions of interest, is open to not just singer-songwriters, but any woman working in the music industry or trying to enter the music industry in any capacity. What's really critical about creating change, I think, in the industry is to also educate our audiences and the general public about the fact that the industry is not just about singer-songwriters. And yes, of course, all of our artists are really, really critical and important. We really love them. And the industry revolves around them. But behind the scenes are all of these other people working. And a lot of those people have been women who've not been acknowledged or recognised for their work traditionally and historically. And that's not an unusual thing in a lot of industries, but it's certainly a big deal in the arts. And so we're opening up the regional program to try and encourage a lot of your listeners out there, women, young women, elders, who want to be involved in a program that is basically blanketed in love, That is the core of Orma. It is blanketed in love and acceptance and also support and acknowledgement and recognition, where we're trying to encourage you all to feel stronger in yourselves through the power of music. And that's really the power of Orma. So we're calling on anybody living in regional or remote Queensland at the moment to enter through our website on the homepage. And I think we're selecting 8 women this mm-hmm. year, and they will all be immersed in the full 2-day program of Orma over October the 8th and 9th, which includes our conference program and our award ceremony, concert and after party, and anything else that we're doing at the time.
Yeah, incredible. And, you know, I think it really serves an important purpose, because I know from the people that I've interacted with and talked to, because being a behind-the-scenes person in the music industry, just the challenges that people who are living in regional and remote areas have when it comes to being able to not only express their art, but to find platforms to showcase their art and to tell their stories. And, you know, this program just sounds like it's a pathway for people to be able to access, you know, the recognition and the awareness and visibility that they deserve. And you know, I'm so looking forward to who the delegates will be this year, because, you know, I mean, just the events that you just mentioned around the conference and the networking and the awards ceremony and the black carpet, even, that's really exciting. Yeah. It's just like such a special experience, because you know, honestly, the people the women who are living in regional remote areas deserve to shine bright, to showcase their talent, to raise that visibility and awareness. Cause, I don't know, this being there last year, I just felt like I would just call it magic. And, it's, yeah,
because it's beautiful.
The stories that are told and that it's just, you can feel it. And sometimes it's not even the people performing on stage or speaking on panels at conferences. It's those little in between bits where you're interacting with everyone as human beings, just trying to catch a cab from here to there, and the support and love that you feel wrapped around you, is just really special. So, I highly encourage anyone out there who is living in a remote or regional area and who identifies as a woman as well, to jump onto the Orma website, womeninmusic.com.au, and look up the Queensland Regional Remote and Regional and Remote Women's Music Program and apply. And please don't feel hesitant to reach out to Orma and to reach out to the people who you can reach out to via the website in order to seek some support, to fill out the form as well. Because, you know, sometimes we know we just need some clarification on you know, some of the things that it's asking. So it'd be really awesome. Yeah, don't feel ashamed to reach out for support if you need any help or have any questions about the program. But this is also this coming 2025 Orma and this program in particular, it's not the first time that it's happened. This is the sixth annual time that the program has been run. Is that right, Vicky?
That's right. Yes, it is. It's the sixth Orma. And amazingly, obviously, we lost 2 years to COVID, but 2028 is our 10th anniversary. So we're fast tracking to that, Will. And if we're there, it'll be an absolute miracle. But fingers crossed that we will.
Fingers crossed that I hope so. And it has to. Let's get behind them, community. but yeah, I think, you know, there's so many success stories already that comes from the previous people who have been a part of this program. Can you share a little bit about, you know, who were some of the previous delegates and maybe some of the outcomes that have been achieved from people engaging and participating in a program like this?
Yes, look, one of the delegates that came through the program in 2022, she was from Mackay, actually, around Mackay, and she remains engaged with the program. In fact, the following year, she just came in as a volunteer because she couldn't stay away, and she's remained involved with Orma and is working with us again this year. But we've also had a number of women come in from Yarrabah, from the Aboriginal community up there, and they absolutely love what we're doing, and we provide support on the ground for all of those women. You know, and sometimes, you know, those women can't actually afford to buy something to wear to the awards ceremony or to wear on the black carpet, so we take care of all of that as well. So, you know, there's a lot of love around what we can do, or what we're able to do to facilitate, to just reinforce how much we want to take care and also support those women in that capacity. And I think the success of the program and OMA overall really is about just that simple thing, which is about, you know, just changing one person's life one day at a time, really. I mean, we are a not-for-profit charity, so we are under-resourced, and we're really stretched, like most arts organisations. But we all of us, everybody that's involved with OMA is on board with the same mission, and our commitment is really enormous in terms of supporting First Nations artists and women in the sector. So it's really about just providing those unique opportunities and opening the doors, you know, with welcoming arms to those women.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I cannot wait to see what eventuates. And you know, having met the previous delegates last year as well, it's a pretty special environment, atmosphere, and yeah, I honestly just cannot wait. Now, the OMAs will be coming up 8th and 9th of October in Meanjin, Brisbane. Maybe is there anything that you can maybe share with us on what we can expect for what's coming up, look, whatever can be shared?
Yeah, I mean, look, we will announce our program around August the 4th, and maybe we can have another chat then, Will.
But yeah.
What I can say is that there will be some guests coming in from remote NT this year. I can also say that the conference program will, our overall theme for the program this year is youth leadership and legacy. So beautiful. I can share that at this stage. And then as far as the concert, the main concert goes, we're just signing off on most of the key artists now. But what I would like to share with your listeners is that we always program high-profile artists to stand right next to artists that are still trying to break through and emerge in their careers. So we're not trying to replicate a hierarchical structure in that, clearly by how I've been talking and what we're sharing, Will, it's really significant that on the main stage that there is a whole combination of talent and age and experience all in the one room under the same roof.
Absolutely. No, that is incredible. And I know so many people are just buzzing just from hearing about it. So thank you for all the work that you've done, and thank you for, all the work that you continue to do and all the work that will come after as well. And, if I know from previous years, this year will also be a success. And I'm really looking forward to what's to come. Thank you for joining me today, Vicky. I feel like, you know, it's been great to catch up and to hear a bit about the program. And I just want to encourage our listeners out there that, yeah, if you're really interested in the program, again, just a reminder, the Queensland Regional and Remote Women in Music program is open from the 17th of June. So it's out now, and applications will close on Monday, the 4th of August. And how you apply is you go to the website womeninmusic.com.au/regional-callout, and you'll find a link to the form to be able to complete that out. But Vicky, do you have any final words for our listeners or anything about the program before we sign off?
My final words would be to encourage anyone out there that doesn't feel that they're good enough to apply or doesn't feel that they've got the confidence to apply. I really encourage you to rise above that and apply because some of the most extraordinary talent and some of the most remarkable people I've ever met in my life come from remote and regional Australia.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for your time today. And I'm looking forward to hopefully we get another chance to have a yarn again soon in the future.
Thanks so much, Will. Thank you. And thank you for all your support, especially the work that you did for us last year. And we really look forward to welcoming you again to OMA this year.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll always be there anytime. I am a strong ally for the event, and cannot wait.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to another episode of Let's Talk Black Arts with Will Pal Uwe on Triple A Māori Country 98.9 FM. Now, if you've just been tuning in, we have just finished an interview with Vicky Gordon, the founding executive producer and program director of the Australian Women in Music Awards, who was a deadly ally bringing in some incredible opportunities for First Nations people and people living remote and rural. So, yeah, if you did miss that interview, tune in later tonight to listen to the replay at 7 p.m. or jump onto our website, AAA.org.au. We have the streaming apps as well, iHeartRadio and Community Plus radio apps. So, yeah, jump back and have a look. But also, I want to just talk about some of the exciting opportunities that we all have at the moment. There is so much happening here in Meganj and Brisbane, and I'm so excited to like have so many options available. I feel like I haven't seen this many events and shows and gigs and all this kind of stuff, so I'm super excited. But one of them that I would like to shout out right now is Dear Sun, and I don't know if you've seen any ads for that out at the moment. I know I definitely have. But Dear Sun is at the Queensland Theatre at the moment, and it is on from the 28th of June to the 19th of July. It is actually something that is, I don't know, it just sounds so special. I haven't actually seen something like this before. So Dear Sun, it's about letters and reflections from First Nations fathers to sons. It's based on the book by Thomas Meyer and adapted by Isaac Drandick and John Harvey, and directed by Isaac as well. So it just, it's something that's so incredible. I don't know, it's just kind of like, it's something that tells a story that I personally haven't really heard of before, and it's through story and song that this show, Dear Son, it honors the rich traditions and wisdoms of fathers passed down through generations whilst exploring the challenges faced by First Nations men today. And, you know, I think there's just a lot of vulnerability that's coming through this. It speaks straight to people's hearts, and it reminds you that, you know, there's no shame as men, but there's no shame in love, in softness, in being seen. It's about being open and talking up and yarning. It's about dispelling the stereotype around what masculinity is for First Nations men. I'm so excited about this. And not only this, like, there's just something so intricate around how, you know, First Nations people connect in gender-based cultural practices and cultural protocol. I talk a lot about this when I talk about culture, and particularly like we've got men's and women's business out there being practiced, and when we share a bit about our culture and our stories, it continues those Asian practices like those businesses, but it's sharing it in a public way that it's an opportunity for us to connect and to bond and to reduce stigma about things and, you know, getting rid of stereotypes. I mean, I'm personally a big fan, so I cannot wait to see it. And I really encourage anyone out there who's interested in checking that out, check that out. So head to their website, queenslandtheatre.com.au, and search for Dear Sun. That's out now. Something else that's really exciting that I wanted to put out there is that Clancestry is coming in quick. So Clancestry returns from the 23rd of July, and it goes for 2 weeks. And there's going to be extraordinary First Nations storytelling, music, dance, art, culture, all at the Queensland Performing Arts Centre. Now, I mean, you know the title of the show. This is Let's Talk Black Arts. And honestly, this is just the wheelhouse of what this show is. And it really is about the stories that are told through these creative mediums. And there's just such a variety of things lined up, right? So this lineup this year actually includes the multi-award-winning play called The Visitors by Jane Harrison and directed by Wesley Enoch. Following this, it's critically acclaimed sold-out Seasons as well. So this is such an incredible show. There's also the multi-award-winning electric duo Electric Fields, and they'll join forces with the Queensland Symphony Orchestra for a breathtaking night of music on a grand scale. And that would be incredible as well. I'm so excited out of all of this. But I personally know Zachariah from the Electric Fields, and I've heard the story of who he is, where he comes from, and how he includes culture into his music, and it's his freedom of expression, and to go against the norm, not as an intentional thing to move away from, but just to really celebrate and embrace authenticity without constraints is, yeah, just a powerful, strong person, storyteller and performer. And along with Michael, they form an incredible duo as Electric Fields. Now, next in Clancestry, one of the most innovative and energizing works to emerge, is something by the composer and pianist Paul Grabowski. And he's the one who'll be leading the Queensland Orchestra. And Yonglu Songmen, Daniel Nunku Boy Wilfred, and Daniel Yipuni Wilfred together for Wata, a gathering songmen, improvising soloists and orchestra. So that sounds deadly as well. And Bangarra Theatre will also be coming back to present their show, Illume, and starting new work by learning choreographer Francis Rings and Gulagan Bard visual artist Daryl Subisado as well. So full packed menu. A full packed lineup. And moving forward, I've just got a couple of community announcements, but the first community announcement, the 2025 Queer NAIDOC Ball is happening this weekend, Saturday, the 5th of July, starting from 6 p.m. and it's going to be at the Brisbane Powerhouse. Now, I'm just going to jump in to a little bit of vulnerability and just acknowledge that as mob, we are many things. We are have many intersectional identities, so to speak. And we can experience forms of discrimination and injustices in many different ways. And for me personally, I never, once I started finding myself and my identity, I didn't picture ever being able to marry someone that I love because it was outlawed. It was illegal to do so. And within my lifetime, the marriage equality vote has passed, and I have had the incredible opportunity to marry the love of my life. And we've been together as husbands for over a year now. But when it comes to the theme of the next generation, strength, vision, and legacy, this event, the Queer NAIDOC Ball, it's the inaugural event, the first ever event for this community, Meganjin, in Brisbane. And I am so excited to think about living in a reality where the next generation after me are able to grow up having dreams of marrying the person that they love, whoever that might be. And for me, this is a celebration of embracing all of who we are. So I want to invite you to come out and have a great time with us. We are inviting all of our LGBTQIA+, sister girls, brother boys, allies, and fabulous mob, all of our rainbow mob out there. Let's get this party started, and let's make this massive, and let's party until the next generation. Let's celebrate that, because it deserves that. And, you know, this is iconic because it's also hosted by the one and only Miss Alanis, and it's going to be an explosive celebration of just the best black and queer artistry out there, in my opinion. But we are going to have a welcome to country, so cultural protocols will be in play, and I'm so excited to hear the powerhouse vocals of Arnie Dawn and special guest and artist DJ Cerulean, and the jaw-dropping performances from the fabulous Busybody and the unstoppable No Vagina, who I've seen many times perform, so cannot wait to see No Vagina there, and the divine Dexy Daydream, the magnificent Magenta, and dancer extraordinaire Joshua Taliani, and the deadly DJ Wes Plus just announced the hip hop queen Kayla Truth. So shout out to her. I've seen her many a time before too, and I'm so excited. So this is really like ultimately like this is we're gonna hold space for our stories, for our ancestors, and for the future as well. So there's going to be a whole lot of love at this event, and I'm looking forward to seeing everyone there. Now, the second one is the NAIDOC Ball itself. There's another big NAIDOC Ball happening, and this year it's going to be bigger, blacker, and better than ever. So, again, this one is going to be a massive celebration of all the deadly excellence that exists out there here in the Meganjin Brisbane community. So we cannot wait to see you there as well. But get your tickets fast, because I believe they're almost sold out. If not, jump in there and have a look. BrisbaneNAIDOC.org.au on the website. And yeah, so this is actually going to happen on the 12th of July, if you didn't know. So get your tickets in quick too, because it's only not this weekend, next weekend. So what a fortnight of incredible deli events. And that's pretty much all I have for now. So thank you for joining me for another episode of Let's Talk Black Art. I just really also want to give a big shout out to our show's sponsors, the Community Broadcasting Foundation and Brisbane Pride. So thank you very much for allowing us and supporting us to continue to do the incredible deadly work and the continued legacy of Let's Talk Black Art. And if you missed any episodes and you want to catch up again, don't forget to go to our website, aaa.org.au, or follow the iHeartRadio and Community Plus Radio apps to see or hear the previous shows as well. But thank you. Thank you for listening. And I will catch you next time for another deep dive into more First Nations stories, art and culture. Alrighty then. Well, until next time, yawa.